There is something very fascinating in this week's parsha. Parsha Lechcha, it also gets to the core in many ways of who Sarah Imenu was, which might be relevant a bit to Chaya Sarah also. So we know that Avram and Sarah are married, and Avram and Sarah are unable to have children. Sarah, in what is just an unbelievable act of self-sacrifice, decides to, in many ways, I guess, give over to Avram Avinu Hagar. Hagar is a shivcha, mitzris of Sarah's, and he gives her over to Avraham, and they're able to have a child together, Avram and Hagar. The Torah tells us that after they have a child, the interactions between Sarah and Hagar sort of more or less go downhill to the point where v'ta'aneha Sarai. Sarai seems to it gets so bad that in many ways the way Hagar seems to be treating her, that Sarah starts to afflict, causes a certain amount of pain to Hagar, but tivrach mipaneha, even to the extent where Hagar ends up escaping Hara and ends up running away. What does it mean that she was vitana, that she was afflicting her? Rashi says she was mishabedes babakoshi. She gave her really hard work, because even though she was married to Avraham, her relationship to Sarah was still one of shivcha, and therefore she was able to treat her in a relatively, treated her in a harsh way. The Rishonim debate whether Sarah's treatment of Hagar was appropriate or inappropriate. The Ramban famously writes here that the Ramban says, Chata imenu bi'inui hazeh, that this was a sin that Sarah imenu performed by treating Hagar this harshly. And he says Avram also sinned by tolerating Sarah in this particular act. And he says the Ramban, and in fact, because Sarah did this, Sarah's descendants were punished. How were they punished? Because Hagar was going to have a child, Yishmael was going to be a para Adam, and those descendants were going, Lanos, Zera, Avram, Visara, Bechol, Mine, Ha'inoi. The same way that Sarah afflicted Hagar, so Hagar's children eventually, Mida, Knegan, Mida, they were going to eventually afflict the children of Avram and Sarah. The Ramban is a chiddush on two levels, two ideas of the Ramban that come up a lot in Sefer Bereishis. The first, the Ramban in Lechacha already, is more comfortable than many critiquing and identifying potential sins performed by the Avos. Very famously, the Ramban writes that Avram Avinu sinned by going down to Mitzrayim by Hira of Ba'aretz when there was a famine. Other Rishonim, of course, argue Ein Somchan Al Hanes, and Avram, of course, would have gone down to Mitzrayim. But the Ramban is comfortable critiquing at times the Avos with certain sins. And the Ramban understands that when the Avos come along and when the Avos sins, that has reverberations for the descendants of the Avos. So just as Avram sinned by going down to Mitzrayim, we have to go down to Mitzrayim. Just as in this case, Sarah sinned by causing and afflicting Hagar. So then Hagar's descendants were going to come along and they were going to afflict Sarah's descendants. There are, however, a group of Rishonim, a group of Mefarshim, that argue with the Ramban. And they claim, Ramban, no, Sarah was entirely appropriate in what she was doing. What Sarah did made a lot of sense. That is the opinion of the Abarbanel. It appears to be the opinion of the Sfarno. It appears also to be the opinion of the Netziv. So a whole group, the Ran also in his Peirush Al HaTorah, a whole group of Rishonim argue that Sarah was correct in what she was doing and what she was doing to Hagar. Says the Netziv, how do I know that Sarah was correct? What the Ramban says about how it was a punishment because eventually Yishmael would have a child who would afflict the descendants of Avram and Sarah. Says Netziv, and only Yishmael afflicted the children of Avram and Sarah? Like, everyone's getting in on that one. That's not like a unique midah, kenegan midah. Says Netziv in Harachiv Davar, he says as follows. He says, Lo yadati v'chi b'nei Yisrael levad, b'nei Yishmael levad misalu b'zera Avram? No, lots of Umos HaOlam did this. He himself claims it is not really considered to be a sin at all. If that is true, so why did Sarah treat Hagar so harshly? Presumably, the Avos and Imos, they're people that excelled also interpersonally as in a Tziv writes in Sagdama to say for Bereishis, they excelled as far as Midos Tovo. So there must have been something that was motivating Sarah Imenu to treat Hagar in such a harsh way. So there are a couple of different theories that are out there. We will share one in the Abarbanel, and then hopefully have time to develop it. I think it's a very intriguing idea, Derek Drush, but as follows. The Abarbanel says, you know, what happened was Hagar was taken as a shivcha, and suddenly Hagar marries Avram Avinu, and suddenly she's able to have a child. What impact was that going to have on Hagar? Hagar was going to become a Balgaiva. She was a Balgaiva. She was someone that was acting in a very haughty way. Suddenly she wasn't taking Sarah so seriously. Suddenly the Medrash tells us she was talking badly about Sarah. She was acting as if she was so prominent. She was so chashav. There was an element of gaiva there. So why did Sarah treat Hagar this way? Not because she was angry, not because she was petty, and not because she was jealous. But rather, it was, from Sarah's perspective, an opportunity to be mechanech her shifcha. That if a person has gaiva and they go to one extreme, so the Rambam teaches us, sometimes he has to go to the opposite extreme to get back to a healthy middle. So because Hagar came along and Hagar had so much gaiva, so Sarah had to treat her poorly in order to sort of bring her back to a healthier kind of a meeting. Now, Hagar initially wasn't really able to handle that. For that reason, Hagar came and she ran away. But it wasn't a personal sort of falling apart of the relationship of Avram and Hagar, of Sarah and Hagar. It was Sarah's attempt at being mechanecher in that kind of a way. The Sfarno and the Netziv, albeit in different ways. Sfarno, I think, right, she had to respond that way. As Sarah Imenu, again, some of the Mepharshim say this, Sarah Imenu, one of the Imos, so it's important as far as the respect that those people deserve. It's like the way of saying, you know, like, it's not for me, it's Kavanah Torah, so it's that kind of an idea also. Sarah understood that if people don't take her as seriously, that would in many ways, says Asfarnu at least, why did she do this? Lo'os shekein yikra l'chol mevaza Yisrael. That this is what happens to people that don't take Klal Yisrael seriously enough. They have to be dealt with. We're not going to respect them the same way. If you challenge Klal Yisrael, we have to respond and show how Klal Yisrael really is at a very high level. There is an amazingly, I think, intriguing and al derech drush pshat, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher, a sefer called Lekat Sichos Musar. He was Rosh Hashiva of Slabodka. Rabbi Yonatan Sachs quotes this in his commentary or in his sefer on Parshat Lech Lecha and Yira. And Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher is the following, I think, really, really intriguing idea. Again, purely al derech drush. We'll maybe say it a little bit differently and add a mucker or two. But it's a fascinating idea. It says Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher the following Torah. He says, what is the relationship between Sarah and Hagar? What's really going on between them? So he says, you know, Avram and Sarah were equal partners in spreading monotheism throughout the world. Hanefesh asher asu b'charan, Avraham es ha'anashim, Sarah es ha'anashim. Sarah's playing a major role in the unveiling of Torah. Akadei Kata Chazal speak about sometimes. Sarah Imenu, Le'inyan Nevua, may have even been on a higher level. They're, Sarah's very chashev, Avram's chashev. Each one sort of is like running, Ki'ilu, their own base medrash. Avraham has Eliezer. Eliezer is the one who is taking Avram's Torah, and he's also spreading Avram's Torah. He's an Eved, but he's an elevated kind. He's an elevated kind of Eved. Hagar, says Yitzchak Isaac Sher, is also like Sarah's Talmud Mufak. Hagar is the person who is also there, and she's spreading that Torah also. Found an amazing parallel between Eliezer and Hagar. Ari Khan points this out. Then the Targum Yonasan, both Eliezer, in two different places, Eliezer and Hagar, he attributes as being grandchildren of Nimrod. That in both situations, there's a certain connection between Eliezer and Hagar. They're both people, again, who are like the Talmidim, one of Avraham and one of Sarah. The difference is as follows. The Rebbe, Avraham and Sarah, they can be Mechadesh Torah. They're going to have innovative ideas and new ideas. And the job of Eliezer and the job of Hagar, each one is to do their own, each one is to be Mefarsim, their Rebbe, Mefarsim, the Rebbe's Torah. Derech Agav, I think in light of this, we understand well why Rashi tells us later on that Eliezer really sort of wanted to be able to have his child marry Avram's kid. I mean, just like Hagar was the Talmud that was able to get a certain connection, Eliezer was searching for that also. What happened? The following thing happened. Hagar suddenly marries Avram, and suddenly Hagar is able to have a kid. So Hagar starts saying, I think I'm ready to chart my own path right now. I think I'm ready to become, quote unquote, like a Rebbe. I'm going to become a person that's also going to be able to megayer people. I'm going to also have sort of my own base medrash. And she starts saying her own ideas a little bit. She feels like she's on her own right now. What does Sarah say? So Sarah knows that's not true. Sarah knows that Hagar is not on that madrega. That Hagar's job is to be the Talmud of Sarah, like Eliezer's Talmud of Avram, not to do more than that. Says B'tash Sher al Derech Drush, what was the inoy? What was the pain that Sarah did to Hagar? Sarah said to Hagar, no more Chidushei Torah. From now on, you say whatever I tell you to say. That's all that you could do. So what did she end up doing? What does Hagar do? Hagar decides that she is going to run away. Hagar responds that she's going to run away. How come? Because Chazal tell us, Al Yidur Adam B'Makom Rabo Lo Kayifle. You shouldn't live where your Rebbe lives unless you're really Mevatel Das to your Rebbe. Since Hagar was originally a Talmud of Sarah, wanted to try on her own, so Vatir Rebbe Panai decided to run away so she could do her own thing. That's what she wanted to do. She finally goes to the Malach Hashem, and the Malach Hashem tells her, no, you have to be kafuf to Sarah Imenu. Sarah Imenu is really the ikker of what is all there in that kind of a way. In that sense, the real issue between Sarah and Hagar is not that Sarah sinned, like the Ramban says. It isn't, like the Abarbanel says, there was a question of chinuch, of teaching her to not have gaiva. Not that Sfarno says to make a statement that people have to treat members of Klal Yisrael appropriately, but rather, Ritzak Isaac Sher, it's an amazing Torah, again, Al Derech Drush, about the relationship between Avram, between Sarah and Hagar. Hagar's role with Sarah was like Eliezer's with Avram. And it's important that Hagar understand that role and keep that role in that kind of a way. It does give us a lot of insight. We speak about, again, who Sarah Imenu was. So Sarah Imenu was a person who was able to be Mechadish in that kind of a way. Sarah Imenu was a person who was of such significant stature. And Hagar doesn't. We also understand better why, according to Chazal, when Sarah passes away, that's when Hagar can come back and marry Avraham. Because in many ways, Sarah was a person, Hagar was a person who was infused with Torah in a certain sense. She was infused with a certain kind of Torah, and she was Roy. But b'makom Sarah, so she had to understand that her role was somewhat more limited. Again, I think some intriguing ideas about this interaction between Hagar and Avraham is a lot more al derech hapshat, but hopefully this at least is a particular mahalach that can be important to know about.